When I came here, I was about 16.
And I had a very, very terrible dream.
You were sick, weren't you?
Yeah, I was in, you know, usually they have second classes, you know, they have, but I went with, my mother didn't even know it either. My mother, when my mother came here too, she became the same way and she was so sick and they were both.
In steerage.
Yeah, but if you, you know why? Because we were way down.
In the bottom.
In the bottom. I was way down, but my mother came too, but I should have told her.
You came first before your mother?
I came before my mother. I came over myself with another girl that came from my town. So we were driving, and I went, and as soon as I went on the boat, I got sick, and I didn't get up until the boat stopped.
You couldn't get to the deck or anything?
I couldn't go to the deck. I couldn't go up one day to the deck, so I started to throw up, and I had to go back
down. How long was the trip? Do you remember? Was it like a couple of weeks?
It's about 2 weeks.
2 weeks?
Yeah, exactly, two
and
weeks.
And where was it? Where did it leave from? Did it leave
from
France?
It left from, what the boat was.
Did it leave from Lithuania?
Yeah. No, it left from Sarov. It went to see my mother. Took me over to the
Was it Russia?
Russia, right? You know, not far from our house. There was not from our house. It was a city that the boat left.
A port.
Yeah, that's right. So that was in Sarov. So my mother took me there, and. Then I went today, she left me, put me on the boat, and they went back home. But when the boat started to go, I got so sick, you know, I was downstairs, and I couldn't walk up. Could walk up on the deck, so it wouldn't have been so bad. But I kept on throwing up all the time.
Were you seasick or nervous about leaving or
no,
what?
No, seasick. I was so sick, I was so dizzy, you know. So then... but a few days, maybe about 5 days later, I went up on the deck, and there I felt better. Because
you're finally strong enough to get up there, huh?
Yeah, finally got stronger. So I was there, and I stayed right at the deck, and I felt much better. But, you know, I was so sick the other 5 days.
Altogether,
it must have taken her. I went with another girl.
So she was at least able to take care. Was she well, or was she sick too?
Well, I don't know. She was also sick.
So you really couldn't help each other very much.
That's right. I didn't know that. That was the whole story. There's nothing there to tell about it.
Do you remember? I mean, why did you specifically come? Did you, I know when Grandpa Abramson said he had to escape from the army and things like that.
I had my brother, Sal.
Sal was already here?
He was here, and he was in Virginia. And he came to take me off from the boat.
What about Shia? Was he here yet, or he came after you?
No, he came after my mother came.
He stayed?
My mother took him up, brought him up here with the whole family.
Right, the first thing, Morris left, and he went to South Africa, right?
Yeah, he went to South Africa. And he stayed
Was
there.
He planning on coming to the United States afterwards? I know he got married.
He was probably planning, but then he got married.
Right.
So it was, but the reason my mother came, because my brother sent her money, and he says she should go to America right away. Because if you don't live in Africa at that time, it was a different system. There you couldn't let a girl out from your sight. You had to watch it because, then colored people, they were also,
They were wild, yeah.
Yeah, so they couldn't let them out. So he thought that in America it's the same thing.
But in
America was different.
It's not like it is now. It was safe to walk out on the streets.
Yeah, it was safe and everything else.
So you
very good.
You wouldn't have come if Sal hadn't written to your mother and said that it was all right for you to come, you probably wouldn't have come when you did then, right? Sal had to say it was all right for you to come since he was already here.
No, Sal... That's right. Sal was here already, yeah. He was here, he was in Lynchburg, Virginia. My uncle took him over there. And he was there all the time. And then he came to take me off the boat.
In Ellis Island.
In Ellis Island. And then he brought me in. And so I had a man here that was my sister-in-law's brother. There was a man. So he came.
Which sister? Sal's wife?
No, not Sal's wife, but let's see. It wasn't my sister-in-law's. It was really my sister-in-law's brother.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So he was in America. He came in to take me off the boat with Sal.
Right.
He and Sal came
over. They came to New York to take you.
Yeah. Well, he lived in New York, and Sal came over there. So the boat came over and took me from there.
Do you remember Ellis Island? I mean, what it was like there?
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen pictures. You know, it's like a lot of big rooms, and they have people waiting, and you have to wait till someone picks you up.
Yeah, that's right. And they wouldn't let you out, and there are people up, and the women are watching you. They shouldn't. Somebody shouldn't pick you up. That is not the right person. Yeah, but at that time it was very. They were very careful with girls, especially girls. So because with those. But on the boat, I didn't enjoy nothing at it. I just was laying there the whole time until the boat stopped. Then when the boat stopped, I felt fine. I went out and I washed myself and I dressed myself and I...
When you got to Ellis Island, did they ask you questions like, what's your name and where are you coming from?
Oh, yeah, they do. They ask questions. Then when I came to take my mother off the boat...
Oh, you came to get her like Sal came to get you.
Yeah, so I went there to take her with another, my sister was a brother, that was from another town, but he was here in America, and he used to come to us all the time. So when I came here, so he used to come over too.
Now you lived in New York City, Mount Vernon.
I lived in Mount Vernon because he said New York City is too big. You know, you better go to... So he brought me to Mount Vernon.
And Mount Vernon wasn't big like it is now. It was a smaller town,
It was
right?
a smaller town, mm-hmm. and it was, the shops there was someplace mm-hmm. to work, So I got there, and I went up to a place. It was right not far from where I was living. And I went up and I got work. So I started to work right away.
Now you were a seamstress, right?
Yeah.
This is what you learned in Europe.
I used
Europe.
To work in Europe, yeah, but like that.
So you knew.
So I knew how to work, and then I got a job. And then a year later, my mother came here. And when my mother came here, she also was very sick. She says, my mother had money too. She could have gone to the second
class.
Yes. And then she was Ethel. My sister Ethel Solomon was with her.
And
Shirley was a little girl.
Yeah, Shirley must have been very young.
Yeah, Shirley was just about maybe 5-6 years old. Mm. Because she went to, she came in and she was playing in the street and a teacher passed by. So she says, she asked her, why doesn't she go to school? Why is she playing here? So she couldn't talk, so she took her into a lady there next door. She didn't bring her in the house, but she brought her into the lady. And the lady told her that she just came back and she just came from Europe. And she
didn't speak English.
And she can speak English. So, the teacher, and she was dressed nice. She was, all dressed up. So the teacher took her to school right with her.
Hmm.
And she registered her, and she went since then. So then she went to public school, and then she went to business school, surely.
Mm, right. Now, you couldn't speak English when you came to the United States, could you?
No, I couldn't.
You spoke Yiddish and Russian?
I spoke Yiddish and Russian and Lithuania. Mm-hmm. I knew Russian.
Lithuania is a different language from Russian.
Yeah, well, I live in Lithuania. Mm-hmm. See, then that I could speak fluently, Litvish, mm-hmm. Litvy. So, but when I came from, then, what was I telling you?
About, you didn't speak English when you came to the United States.
Yeah, I couldn't speak English at all.
Well, how did you learn it? I mean, you didn't go to school when you came
No,
here.
I went into work and I learned with the girls.
You just picked it up as you
all English girls.
Now, since you already spoke three languages, did you find it easier to learn another language? They say it's difficult, once you know one language, it's difficult to learn another, but if you know a couple, it's not so difficult to learn the other one after that.
Yeah, well, I didn't have to learn any other. I know English and I know Lithuania.
But it wasn't difficult to pick up English when you started working?
No. I picked up very fast. So, in the beginning, there was a forelady. She used to laugh because I didn't know how to call the things, the equipment, yeah, like they had a thing with those glass on it, trimmings. It was a trimming. So I came over to ask her for that because
but you didn't know what to call it.
And I didn't know what to call it. So I said, "Oh, the glass things." So she knew already. So, but she left. She was Italian, but she was.
So when your mother got here, you sort of had to translate for her.
Oh yeah, when my mother got, I already spoke English pretty good, very well.
So for other people, so, when they wanted to speak to her, they probably had to speak.
My mother only came a year later than me, but I spoke English very good.
But when other people wanted to speak English to your mother, I guess they had to speak to you, and you would translate it to her.
That's right. That's what I did. And then my mother learned herself, and you didn't know how my mother did business there. Hmm. She bought a big home thing, you know. They lived in an apartment. And then when the war...
Just now, where did you live in Mount Vernon? Did you live by yourself or with another girl or what?
Well, I lived...
Before your mother came, the year before
I lived by myself in a room with another girl there.
Mm-hmm.
We had a room, both of the girls, we had a room there. So we slept there, but it was right close to the place where I was working. And there were elderly people, you know, there. They were two, a husband and a wife, and a daughter. So she was already, you know, like, what do you call it, an
teenager?
Old maid.
Oh, a spinster, like.
Spinster. But she was nice. She learned, you know, she used to teach us how to talk good. And they were surprised to see that I'm first we're starting to talk English there, you know. But it's very easy because you hear everybody talk English. And
I
then
guess
you
if you're in
know
the country where everyone's speaking.
Yeah.
But
then read and write, we went to a night school. I had to go to night school. So whatever I know from night school.
Well, you know it pretty well. I mean, you've been able to get along all these years. And you had a store, so you had to get along.
Yeah, I had a store. After I got married with Grandpa, we went to Newark, New Jersey. We had a store.
Mm-hmm.
And then and all the people liked it so much. Mm-hmm. And then Ben, your
well,
father,
first you were in Baltimore because my father was already born when you were in
Baltimore.
Yeah,
your father
he was
born,
a baby. Or
your father was born in Baltimore. And I think that Gitti was born in Baltimore, too.
In Baltimore, too?
Yeah. And and then Ike was born in Mount Vernon. And they had the store already and everything.
Do you remember when you came, when you left Europe? You know, when Sal said you should come and you went to, on the boat, were you afraid of leaving and all that? I mean, you were only 16 and you were, you didn't know who else would be coming and all that?
No.
You weren't afraid?
I knew. But when he came, I saw him right away.
But I mean, you didn't know whether your mother would be coming over right away or not, or, you know, you didn't know?
Oh, well, I didn't know that, no. But anyway, my brother Maris, he was the one that made my mother come to America. He sent her money. My mother didn't need his money. But anyway, she...
Because she was a businesswoman. She had a bakery.
Yeah, she had a bakery. She had money for herself. In fact, she made a lot of money buying homes in...
Well, she worked in real estate. Then.
Yes. She saw that, you know, we bought one house and they lived there. She rented out. It was about three floors. I lived there too. I got married. I married Grandpa at that time. And I took two rooms.
I mean, once she got to the United States, she bought these houses.
No, in Europe, she didn't have a home. In Europe, she had the big house that where she lived, and she paid rent.
Hmm.
And they were sorry to see her go.
I'm sure they were.
Yeah, because we had a bakery, and it was...
She probably brought a lot of money into the town.
Oh, yeah.
But you weren't scared about coming? It was a...
No, I wasn't scared at all. The only thing that I was sick. I couldn't even get out. And then the boat stopped. I got almost stopped, you know, and got
into the port.
The lower waters. So I got up and I washed myself and I dressed myself and I felt pretty good then.
We always see the pictures of the immigrants coming into Ellis Island and seeing the Statue of Liberty. Do you remember seeing the Statue of Liberty when you came in?
Yeah.
Do you remember what you thought when you saw it?
Well, I said I just wanted to know what it was.
Oh, you didn't know what it was?
I didn't know what it was. I saw a big, statue. But then they told me that was the Statue of Liberty.
And when your father died before your mother came, right?
My father died when we were all small children.
Oh, so you were still in Europe.
I was still in Europe when my father died. And that my father was always learning.
Yeah,
he was a scholar. Yeah. And he was...
Your mother supported the family.
That's right. But when my father passed away, well, I was still in Europe for quite a while.
How long...
And then there was a fire and the house burned up.
The house that you lived in?
That we lived in, but I was in another city already at that time.
So you were studying sewing?
Yeah, so I came home to see what happened there, my mother. And, everything was all right. And then they built over the apartment, the house. So they gave my mother another had another couple of rooms there.
Did they have insurance, things like that, so that she would be taken care of, you know, for things like
my
that?
My mother, yeah, I think she did.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. It was there. And, you know, there wasn't too much to burn in Europe. All they have is a lot of pillows even they used to sleep on feathers in the bed.
Oh, really? They didn't have, like, mattresses like we
no,
have?
No, they didn't have, like, mattresses like here.
But how long did your mother live after she came to the United States? Was she here a long time before she died?
Yes, it was quite a long time.
Was my father born already, do you know?
Huh?
Was my father born already when she died?
Oh, yeah. Your father was born in Gitti, she lived in Bivel, was born. They were all small children. Mm. They were all small children, but they used to come over to my house all the time.
Did she live in Mount Vernon, or did she live in the city?
No, she didn't. She lived in the Bronx with my sister Ethel. She got married, mm-hmm. So she lived with her there. But she used to come. She knew how to travel. She came mm-hmm. to the store and she used to stay and watch the store and, you know, watch.
Did they have the subways in those days or weren't they built?
Yeah.
They did.
There was, but it only went to Till Bronx Park.
Oh, I see. They hadn't extended it yet.
Yeah, they wasn't extended yet.
So I guess they had...
Now it's different. They can... I don't even think they extended now. They still have... Oh, yeah, it is extended further in towards Mount Vernon.
Mm-hmm.
But they have to take a little walk, that's all.
But
it was extended since when I was there already.
Yeah, because I think my father said that when he was young on Shabbos, he used to walk over to Aunt Shirley's house in the Bronx and then from Mount Vernon and then take the subway back after dark.
Yeah.
But of course, that was a couple of years later, you know, after what we were talking about. But, you know, it's really interesting that you've... you know, when you came here, I guess there was they used horses and wagons and things like that.
That's right.
Very few people had telephones. There was no television or radio.
None of the people had telephones.
And all this has been
since... Except that we had a telephone because Grandpa had a paper road, so he had two people used to call up sometimes if he got a paper or something.
So you had to have it for business.
Yeah, for business.
But, you know, all of this has happened, you know, since you've been living here. I mean, You've seen all these things.
All these things,
You know, there were no airplanes when you first came here, nothing. Yeah. I mean, none of the things that we have now.
And maybe there was some, but I don't know. I never saw it.
Well, the first airplane flew in 1903, but they really didn't,
that's right. That's what I want to tell you. My town, where we lived, and we were very small, so that's the first airplane came in our town.
Oh, yeah?
And you know why? Because there was a big mill and a big ground there. So he
like a
came,
big open field.
Open field, yeah. And there was a Jewish man that had the mill, you know, mm-hmm. and to grind flour and things like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right. A miller, yeah.
Yeah, miller.
Yeah.
So he came in right in there and he parked on the ground there.
Hmm.
So everybody from the town, no matter from where we lived, we all walked over to see the thing. And it was on a Saturday. We walked over to see it. Because you can't ride, and there's nothing to ride with.
Right,
there was
only one person
you
could
take
fit on
you.
It, yeah.
So they all the people went over that Saturday to see the airplane. But that was the first one, I think, that ever came.
And they flew it in like an exhibition? They were flying on the Wright brothers?
That's the Wright brothers, that's. But only one came. I don't think two came. Maybe two came.
No, it might have been Knight. Orville, probably.
Maybe,
Orville Wright.
Maybe two came because, you know, I think they have to, you know, at that time they couldn't drive so fast.
Mm, yeah.
And they have to rest when they don't know. Near that mill because there was a very big space there. And they were there, and everybody came to see from the town. It was on Saturday.
Was it unbelievable to you that they could fly something like that in the air?
Yeah. Well,
like a
bird? We saw him stop down. So we knew that he flew.
That's really something. So that was that must have been probably around 1905, 1906,
I don't know. We were very young, all went over there to rent to see what's going on.
That's really something.
And we saw him. We saw him stop, even we saw him before, you know, he was just going in, so he was...
So somebody was still in the air.
And then we were afraid maybe he's going to fall down.
Well, that's right. You didn't understand how the things worked.
I know, but he went in right on the field there, and he stopped. And he went down, he turned around and around, you know.
Did they...
the time he stopped.
Did they explain it to you, what it was?
No, they didn't
They probably didn't speak your language.
They didn't know. Who knew what they were talking? But they were... I guess that man must have talked his language. Well, he must have talked Russian, probably Russian or German or whatever it is. He must have talked that.
That's must have been really amazing to see that.
Yeah.
And then you remember this, that I guess when you saw planes in the United States, you...
When I saw the planes in the United States, I wasn't ready what it was.
You went, what was it, about 2 years ago you went on an airplane for the first time when you went to New York? You went with Harry, I think?
Yeah.
Did you remember, were you thinking about that first plane you saw when you went up in this one this time?
No, I didn't, I wasn't afraid because everybody else was going already.
But so, it's really something to think that the plane that you flew on that carried all those people, but it started out like that one you saw in the field, years and years ago.
Well, yeah, they were two, I think, and two men came in. They call them the Wright brothers. Yeah, they came in.
Yeah, they were the first ones to fly.
Yeah,
they started out in this country.
I remember, and that I know that we saw the first. Everybody was running to see them. You know, so from all over the town, you know, the town wasn't that big, but still it was a lot of streets, you know, to walk. But we lived closer to it because, you know, they call it the Sussex.
Like
a suburb? Sussex, the suburbs. Like
Outskirts,
yeah. Yeah. So we walked out there. We lived close to that, to where you walk over. So we walked over there. It took maybe about 20 minutes, that's all. To walk over all the way to see the...
Did you know that he was coming? I mean, did anybody call
him? Yeah, everybody know. That's why everybody went, to see him look at it. It was, I'm telling you, the whole city was there almost. It was on a Saturday that he came in.
So no one was working then?
Yeah, no one was working and no one... and everybody had time. Anyway, you go out for walks on Saturday then. You used to go out for walks, big walks. You used to go out to the woods. There's a lot of woods around where we lived.
So do you remember enjoying your life in Europe? I mean, you know, was it very hard or?
No, it wasn't hard. I tell you, it wasn't very hard at all. We used to help my mother, and we used to do everything that we had to do. My mother used to go to sleep during the day sometimes, most of the time because.
Well, I guess she had to get up early. She worked to make bread and things
like
that.
Yes, she worked, and I helped her with at night too. And then when we got bigger, my mother slept. We let her sleep, and then we did.
Well, you were the oldest
sister,
daughter, Ethel, right?
Yeah, myself and my sister Ethel, we both used to stay.
Well, you were the oldest daughter, weren't you?
Yeah, I was the oldest daughter. And then it was my sister Ethel, and then Shirley was living with us. She was a little girl.
Right.
And.
Well, Jack is older than Shirley, right?
And Jack. My brother too.
Yeah. It was Morris, then Shia.
Then Shia.
Then you.
And Sal.
Then Sal. Then you. And then
Ethel.
Ethel. And Jack.
And then Shirley. Shirley was the baby.
Were there?
We were seven children.
Seven. Were there any that that died when they were babies?
Yes.
That happened a lot.
My mother had five children that passed away.
All when they were babies, or like
babies.
When they were born? Or?
No, babies. Not when they were born, and they, you know, one was a little sick girl, was born sick somehow. I don't know. I don't remember that. I only remember that then she passed away, and I cried so much because, you know, I was also.
11 or 10 or 11?
No, I wasn't that much. I know my father sent us out to a neighbor that there wasn't any Jewish neighbors, but the Gentile. They sent us out, my sister Ethel and myself. And Jack was a little boy yet, very small. They kept him in the house.
And but they didn't have hospital. You didn't go to a hospital to have a baby then. You didn't go to a hospital.
No, there was no hospital. Yeah. There was nothing. I wasn't even a doctor.
Yeah, a
there
midwife.
There was just a midwife. Yeah. A woman came in, and, you know, Gentile woman that we lived with them. We were the only Jewish people that we lived in that same house. So then I heard my mother scream. So I grabbed my sister Ethel and I said, "Come to the house, come. They're killing mama."
You thought someone was hurting her?
Yeah, they're killing mama. Mm. You know, I'm Jewish. Yeah. I said, "Look at the mama." So I ran out and I pushed open the door, and the door was locked. They pushed open the door, so my father came over very fast and he says, don't cry, mama had a little girl." She told me that in Jewish, you know, the mama had a maid. So Then I stopped crying, of course.
And then you understood what happened.
I understood what happened, but I didn't know that she was even going to have a baby.
Oh, really? They hadn't told you?
No, I wasn't. You know, we were so young. They just sent us out of the house somehow. So I figured, you know, to myself, I was thinking, well, how come they're sending me out from the house? But usually I have to do help do the work, you know. So anyway, when I came in, so then I went, you know, when I heard my mother scream, I ran out of the house and I pulled the window open. It was very low, you know, and I could reach it because the windows were very, very low, you know, like in the farm.
So this was just like a neighbor you'd been sent to. You were right nearby. You could even hear everything.
Yeah, it was in the next door to next door to the walls. Mm-hmm. The walls were together.
It was like a row house.
Their wall, yeah.
Like a row house. You know, connected.
Yeah. So when I heard that,
like the house Ike lives in now.
Huh?
Like the house Ike lives in.
Yeah, that's right. You can hear everything what's going on. So I start to scream and cry, and you know, and I pulled the window open. So my father saw him, came over to the window, and he says, "Get out of there, the mama come
out." What does that mean?
My mama has a little girl. So I grabbed my sister and I was dancing there with her. So we said, we have a little sister, you know.
So Ethel must have only been like about 4 or 5 maybe at the time. She must have been very young.
Yeah, well, she was young. I think I must have been that time, maybe about 5 years
old. Oh, so she was probably about 2 or 3.
And she, huh?
She must have been like 2 or 3.
She must have been about 3, yeah. 2 or 3.
You're what, 2 years older than Ethel?
I was 2 years older than Ethel.
Mm-hmm. And Jack, I guess, was just a baby then, so
he
didn't know.
Jack was a baby, yeah.
Did so
I don't know where Jack was. They must have put him away someplace in a corner someplace.
But so
because put him to sleep. They put him to sleep. He was a little boy. He couldn't even hardly walk.
So Jack and Shirley came over with your mother to the United States then? Both of them?
Jack and Shirley and my sister Ethel.
Oh, and Ethel came over too with them.
That's right. The three of them. And my mother was 4.
Mm-hmm. So. And then did your mother get work right away when she came? Or
well, my mother didn't have to work.
Or she had some money?
My mother had money from Europe. Mm-hmm. Then we were working and bringing the money and handing over to my mother. So my mother had, you know...
So you were pretty well taken care of.
Yeah, we didn't take the money.
And then she would give you money to live... She would give you what you needed to live on?
Whatever I need, you know. Whenever we need, you know, things. And she used to buy us done. Mm-hmm. Things we used to eat in the house. We never had to go eat any place. So we, whatever we made, I didn't even open the envelope. I gave it to my mother. So
so there's really a strong sense of family then. I mean, everything that happened revolved around the family.
Yeah, and my mother knew how to take care because she was a businesswoman at home. In fact, I used to help her at home too all the time.
You mean in Europe?
In Europe.
But now, when did you meet Grandpa? How long ago?
Grandpa met him in Mount Vernon.
When you were already living in Mount Vernon?
At that time I must have been about, I don't know, maybe 16, 17 years old, something like it.
After your mother came?
After my mother came. My mother came, I'll tell you how I met her. My mother came and we moved in 5 rooms.
Mm-hmm.
It was 2, 4, the 5 rooms we had in the kitchen. So, but it wasn't big rooms. So, and upstairs, Sam's brother moved up there, so the boys always used to be there in their house.
This is one building.
In his brother's house, yeah. They slept someplace else. I don't know where they used to sleep, but they used to come up to eat in the brother's house. So they used to come in our house. They never was in his brother's house. Everybody was in our house. They had he had Nathan always shown. There was a brother of...
Nathan was Grandpa's brother?
And Nathan was Grandpa's nephew.
Nephew.
He was little, was that?
So he was Grandpa's brother's son.
Son, yeah, the one that lived upstairs. Uh-huh. So, and then it was Sarah, that was one girl. And let's see who else was there. I think he also had about 3 or 4 children. And they lived upstairs, and they always used to come down to our house. So my mother used to say, "Let them all come down here, and I don't want you to go any place." So my
you stay here, and they'll come down here.
Yeah. Mm. So my sister Shirley learned how to play piano. My mother bought her a piano. No, not my mother, but I think Sal bought her the piano.
Mm-hmm.
Bought her a piano, and she used to play. And everybody used to come in our house. Our house used to be full. And the other people from the Bronx used to come in too, the friends that we knew. So our house was always full. We never lonely.
So that's how you got to know Grandpa. Then,
that's how I got to know Grandpa.
Because he and his brothers and nephews used to come down to your mother's apartment.
To our house, yeah. They were upstairs, but they used to, even the girls, everybody used to come in our apartment. My mother used to say, let them come down here. I don't want you to go no place else.
Well, I guess a Jewish mother would be protective and want everything to take place where she could see
it. Yeah, that's right. That's true. So, that's how it was.
What was Grandpa doing at this time? Did he have a store or what?
No, he was working in a shop, in a factory for raincoats.
Raincoats in New York City?
Yeah, he used to make good money, not in New York City, Mount Vernon.
In Mount Vernon. Yeah. I guess there was a lot of industry
in Mount Vernon, a lot of factories. There was a lot of factories there. So, the factories got after that because they moved out from New York.
When the land became too crowded, they couldn't bring the
materials. That's right. So they came here. They came in Mount Vernon and they had a lot of girls working there. Girls and boys and, you know, some Carters. The Carters were the boys that cut the patterns.
And then the girls would sew them together.
And the girls would sew them together.
Do you remember the factory? What was it, a factory or a shop where you were seeing?
It's a shop. We call it
a shop.
What
was it, like a row of sewing machines?
Yeah, a row of sewing machines all around. Like it was a big, almost as this.
As this room, all around the wall?
Yeah,
like?
All around the walls, the machines.
And then what, would they bring you patterns to sew together or pieces of material?
They cut up the material and then had to sew together and the seams.
And then they just give to each person different things to sew?
No, they went, like, I used to make the whole thing. Because they used to bring me over, you know, once to assemble, sometimes to make a sample. So I used to make it.
Was it the same kind of sewing machine like you'd had in Europe, so you knew how to operate?
Well, no, it wasn't exactly the same because many times I used to get a needle in my finger, and they used to take. I almost fainted one time.
I can imagine that.
No, you don't need the machine goes very fast, and if you move away 1 second, it's.
You have to keep watching it.
Yes, so you have to keep watching. But as soon as after that, I really watched it.
Was it like the machine you used to have here, like that singer you used to have?
Yeah, this is a singer machine, and this goes fast too, but the other goes faster, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's rows machines, you know. And all the girls, it's on one side and on the other side, you know, sort of facing one another.
Yeah.
Thing,
yeah. So they have about 10 or 15 of them, I guess?
Well, they must have about 20, 10 in one row, 10 in the other row.
And most of these were Italian, you say?
No, there was a lot of Jewish girls too, but most of them were Italian girls.
So I guess you got to speak a little Italian while you were there too.
Yeah, they said one girl taught me a song.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, but I used to like it. It says "Tutto la festa al tempio." I still remember.
You know,
"Tutto la festa al tempio." Mentre pregava il Dio, bella e giovane, tranquilla. And I don't know the last word. But anyway, you know what it means?
Yeah, what is that?
It's from an opera.
Okay.
So it says every holiday, when they go to church, she sees a nice young man, and he likes her, and she likes him too. You know, that's what it was, the story. It's from an opera.
I guess the Italians, they know all the operas. It's like part of the Bible.
This girl was an intelligent girl. She knew how to speak and, you know, English and everything. But she used to sing that song. And so she taught me. And one time I was, I didn't have any sewing, so I went over to help her drape the dresses.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the time when she sang. And I liked it that much, so I asked if she should sing it over again. But that time was easy for me to learn.
Well, if you still know about 55, 60 years later. And you still remember it.
I remember this, It was a very nice melody, you know. It was pretty song.
Were all the people there friendly?
Once
you got to the United States, were all the people there friendly? I mean, were they willing to help people, you know, from other countries who didn't know the language so well?
Yeah, they did. They were friendly, you know, it wasn't like it is now. Now it's crowded and it's,
right.
you know, But that time it was just from the beginning yet. You know, the people, not too many people were there yet.
Mm-hmm. But and most of the people who were there probably had come from Europe themselves.
We didn't live in a big city, but I went to work in the city for quite a while too.
You're talking about when you were in Europe or in the United States?
No, in the United States. Mm-hmm. And then to New York, on 77th Street, there was a private dressmaking place.
That's a very high-class neighborhood.
Down there I worked.
Then too?
Yeah, down there I worked for quite a while. So I went away from here and I went there. And there I used to copy the dresses and make myself up dresses. So it was, nobody had dresses like mine.
So I guess all the things that you wore, you made, so you could make fancy ones.
Yes, I made. Like. And then one time I put on a dress, and the dressmaker from where I was working, and she was supposed to be, they were supposed to be so big, so great. Mm. She came and copied my dress. So she almost undressed me.
Because she wanted that dress.
She wanted to make that, she made that dress, because you know why? I came in to work. And then it was in the winter time, so I guess my face was red, and I wore a navy blue dress, and so there was the boss, you know, it's a brother-in-law of that woman, so he was standing there and he saw me coming in, so he looked at my dress and he was just he looked and I didn't know what it was. It wasn't about a half hour later, the woman, the dressmaker, comes in. And she starts to pick me up, my dresses, and look how that dress is made. And I didn't know what she was doing, so I was almost starting to, I was sorry why I didn't tell her that. That she can, if she wants to copy my dress, she can take me out someplace else. But she have to do that in front of everybody. Yeah. So anyway, but I was dressed, you know, so she picked up, I was a two-piece dress with a little...
To see how it was made and everything?
Yes, because the boss saw me coming in with that dress, and he liked it, so he went and he told his sister-in-law, you know. So she came out, and it wasn't not more than a half hour or so.
Until she came in.
Until she came in, and she started to pick up everything and see how the dress is made, you know. But I had linings, you know, lining underneath, and she couldn't undress me exactly.
Did you make dresses for like your mother and Shirley?
Oh, I used to make for my mother. I made for Annette once time a dress, and she that I looked on the Facebook. That was when I already had the store. I was married and I had the store.
She went looking magazines like Vogue and Harper's Bazaar and things like that.
Yes, I had all the kind of magazines. That time already I was married. Mm-hmm. But the dress, when the dress that I made myself, I wasn't married yet.
Mm-hmm. So you could
because when I got married, I didn't go to work anymore. Mm. I stayed, did my own. Right. I had the store already.
So you could just look at pictures in the magazine.
So I used to look at the pictures and I made the dresses. So when I wore this dress, I was working in a place in Mount Vernon, and she's a very good designer, that woman. So I saw that dress and I liked it. So I went home and I bought material and I made myself that dress, and I made my sister Ethel dresses too. That is people. Then she went to work to downtown, and then she was wearing that dress. It was in the summer, so a man stopped her off and asked her where she bought that dress.
Because he thought it was so beautiful.
It was beautiful, and it was different, and you know, it was a different. Nobody could get it. I saw it in a fest,
it was
in my
very
fashion
modern,
books.
It was like, yeah.
At that time, I had my store already, and I saw all the fashion books, you know. Yeah. So when I saw that dress, I said, "This is just for Ethel." And it was a beautiful dress.
So she must have really liked it when she got
it. Yes, she liked it. I didn't even tell her. I went to get material, and then I told her to come, and I cut it up, and I made a little tux. It was all the little tux. And between the little tux was buttonholes and pulled through with sashes, you know.
So I guess you could make a very nice-looking dress for very little money if you made it yourself, and you knew how to do it.
Yeah. But you know, the one thing is that I looked in that fashion book, and I looked at that dress, and that dress, I thought to myself, this is just for that. Because, you know. So, I made myself a dress that time when I went to work, that woman, the man saw me coming in. You know, I took off the coat in the coat room, I took off the coat and I went through. So he looked at me like he would never see me before, you know. And it wasn't about 15, 20 minutes, his sister-in-law came in and looked over my dress.
That's really cool. Did it seem like a long time ago when you think of all these...
Yes, but I didn't want to go to work there anymore. I didn't like that. because if she wanted to, when the cover my style, she could have called me in her room there.
Tell you that she liked it.
Not that she liked it. She don't have to tell me. But she could have called me in her room, not making me in the place
in
where
public,
everybody
yeah.
sits. Yeah, where everybody sits around there. They thought that God forbid, God knows what I was doing there. But I did there.
Did you say anything to the boss about it?
No, I didn't, because I was very restful all the time. I don't know.
Hell, you must have been
but I stopped going to work there. I didn't go to
you must have been like about 16 or 17 years old at the time.
About that. Mm-hmm. And I didn't go to work there anymore. I went back to Mount Point and I was in the same place mm-hmm. where I copied that dress.
Mm-hmm. So
they were very good. They had very good dresses. And she was a designer, that woman, that's an Italian people.
Mm-hmm.
She was a designer and she made that dress. And when I saw that dress, I liked it. I went and I got material and I made it. It's I knew what to, yeah. how to do it, so I made
it. It probably looked just the same as in the magazine.
It was the same as, yeah. See, I think that wasn't in the magazine. I copied the dress that I made, you know, made it.
So
I was sewing down it.
After you got married, people came to you and would bring you pictures and say, could you make this dress for me?
Yeah, they used to. But I didn't want to work too much. And it's a lot of trouble when you have the cart and things. But my sister Etta's dress I saw in a fashion book, you know, with the talking.
Yeah.
And that with the chest pulled through and everything.
Well, that's
so
different
I made
to make it for your sister then.
Yeah, I made for her that dress. That dress is, everybody stopped her over, she went to work too.
Mm-hmm.
There was all the, you know, all the men that stay around there before they open the shops. They stay near the shops. So she told me, she says, everybody, yesterday who made the dress, then she bought the dress. So she says, no, I didn't buy it, my sister made it. So they asked her if she would make it for somebody else. She says, no, she has no time. She has a store.
And
I have three children, kind of her, small ones, one after the other. Yeah. One time we had a man, two brothers used to put away things they, you know, we bought from their brother, from the brother the store.
Mm-hmm.
So used to sell things, you know, like any kind of clothes or mm-hmm. something. So they used to keep the stuff in our store
mm-hmm.
on the side, you know, in the corner. So one time I was staying, and Gita was that time about Gertrude was about 6 months old. So I asked him to do me a favor and stay a little while in the store until I paid her, because it was summer, you know.
Right.
So and I had to put her to sleep. So I did. I went and put her to sleep, and I wrapped her up in a towel. And I didn't put her to sleep. I wrapped her up in a towel. I took her out in the store, and I dressed her up. And she was so pretty, you know. Her hair was real life blonde. And she was, you know, she was 6 months old, so it was that child. So I dressed her. So he says, how come you do bathe at night? Well, I says, what do you mean, how come I bathe at night? That's bathe in the morning. So I says, I can't in the morning. I often have to open up the store in the morning. And but anyway, I was staying, and I was combing her hair, and her hair was so pretty. I washed out in the tub, and I dried it up real good, and her hair was so pretty, and he stays and watches me. So he says, well, why are you fooling around with her so much? I says, well, this is a girl, and a girl has to be pretty.
What did he say?
I was kidding with him. So he was laughing, you know, he was laughing.
Do you know who this man was, or just a man who happened to
be? No, I know that man that used to keep the material.
He was from the other...
Yeah, from
the material
he used to keep his things in there, in the corner, you know, right in the back of the store.
So did he say anything after that?
Huh? He was laughing because I says, well, you know that, yeah, girls have to be pretty. So he says, and she was 6 months old, so he says, you're worrying already about it. So he says, I'm not exactly worrying, but I want to do it right.
Do whatever you can.
Yeah.
This must seem like a long time ago now, all of this, all these years
but
ago.
But I remember things. I remember everything from the store, I like the store.
Because I know I'm only 21, you know, I'm almost 22. And I mean, like, things that happened to me seem like a long time ago, but that's nothing compared to what you...
Yeah, but I can remember all those things. I don't remember when it was yesterday.
But well, that's the way people get, you know. I think that, but you remember everything that happened all these years ago, you know, like it was yesterday.
Well, because I was young that time, and I guess everything goes in your mind, it stays there.
That's right, it becomes a part of you, I guess.
Yeah, that's right. Like, I remember that big, great big table where I put her down and sat her
down. In Mount Vernon.
In Antwerpen, yeah, in the store. And so I spent, I just dropped her off in a real big towel, and I took her along her clothes, and I dressed her in there because I had to stay in the store. So you bought the store, you know.
You probably remember the insides of all the houses you had and everything, like years and years ago. I mean, like.
Yeah, I remember I lived in North New Jersey, and I was in the back from the store. You know, wherever I lived, I had luck.
What do you mean?
To people. I was, you know, people used to like me somehow. And the people, see, this here is the, like just like across the bay.
Mm-hmm.
There was is a building. So people used to watch me when I used to take them in to bathe them.
The children?
The children to bathe them. So sometimes I used to bathe them during the day. During the day, Benny especially, your father especially, he was, you know, used to play in the dirt. I used to bathe them up. Bathe them and put him to sleep. So one man comes in, he says, "Young woman, I'm watching you through the window. Why do you have to bathe your child in the daytime? Take him, wash him off. If you want to put him to sleep, wash him off, wash off his hands, his face, and put him in bed and let him sleep. And at night you bathe him." He says, "Well, how can you do things like that? You're going to kill yourself." He used to say.
So what did you say?
So I said, "Well, I didn't say anything." I said, "Yeah, I'll do that next time." That's all. I don't
argue
with them because they mean well for me, so I don't have to insult them, you know. But they used to ask me through the windows, just like here, exactly this.
This far away.
This far away.
That's really. And then Grandpa worked in the store too, and then he delivered papers?
No, Grandpa, that when we lived in North New Jersey, he used to work already in the store.
Mm-hmm.
But in that's when we moved out from. No, we moved a month when and after.
And then he had the papers and the magazines.
Then we moved out from New Jersey. We bought that store from that man. But I'm telling you that I says a girl has to be put in.
Yeah. Why did you move from to Washington? Did it seem like a good idea? So the grandpa could go in with Uncle Jack?
No, not with Uncle Jack. Uncle Jack, he didn't need a partner, but
With Ben Clavin.
Yeah, that was another mistake.
Yeah, well, but
there is no use talking about.
But you remember it being happy.